so glad this morning that we have a God who reigns over all. Amen? Amen. Again, let me just invite you, encourage you to follow along with me in God's Word today. And we're going to be in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2 this morning. I just have a special word that I want to share about moms and with moms, to moms, and just pray this morning that God would serve as an encouragement to you. I always enjoy Mother's Day when families get together and kids are in the worship service with us and that sort of thing. And some people say, well, that's kind of chaotic. You know, kids are up and down and kids may squeal and quit. Kids may cry and all those kind of things. And my response to that is, that's what kids do, right? Doesn't bother me when kids do that. It bothers me when the deacons do it. But no, seriously, when the adults do it. But nevertheless, hey man, we're glad to have our families together and worship today. Hey, James Dobson said this about moms. He said, there are few assignments in human experience that require the array of skills and wisdom needed by a mom in fulfilling her everyday duties. She must be a resident psychologist. She must be a physician, a theologian, an educator, a nurse, a chef, a taxi driver, a fire marshal, and occasionally a police officer. Right, moms? She said, and if she is successful in doing that, she gets to wake up tomorrow and do it all over again, right? And what a great challenge that our mothers face every day. And I want to just encourage you, moms. Seemingly, moms are overlooked, neglected, maybe not mentioned, and we want you to know this morning that you are seen and heard and appreciated and well known. But this morning I want to talk to you about a mom who maybe is not quite so well known. And maybe you as a mom can identify with this mom today. A mom who is known more for her child than she is for herself. And so in Exodus chapter 2, we find the story about the birth of Moses. It says in verse 1, and a man of the house of Levi went and took his wife, a daughter of Levi. So the woman, nameless, conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrush for him, dabbed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's banks. His sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. When the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. And so when she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, because I drew him out of the water. Moses, probably outside of God and Jesus, the most recognizable name in all of Scripture. And yet in the context of this passage, his mother is unnamed. You actually have to go back several chapters in Exodus chapter 6. If you want to look there, just don't take me for my word, okay? Just listen there. So go back to Exodus chapter 6, and in verse 20 it says this, now Amram took for himself Jochebed, his father's sister's wife, and she bore him Aaron and Moses. So it's not until Exodus chapter 6 that we even know the name of Moses' mother. His mother's name is Jochebed. How many of you came in here this morning knowing that Moses' mother's name was Jochebed, okay? One or two of you, okay? And that was because you had to teach the Sunday school lesson a few weeks ago, right? No, I'm just picking. So listen, and then in Numbers chapter 26 in verse 59, it says this: the name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, who was born to Levi in Egypt. And to Amram, she bore Aaron and Moses and their sister Miriam. Only two places in all of Scripture, then, that we really find the name Jochebed. So she's seemingly unknown, little recognized, and yet she is the mother of the great prophet Moses. And so there's obviously more to Jochebed than what we just might look at on the surface in Scripture. Jochebed, I think, kind of identifies, or a lot of mothers can identify with Jochebed, right? You know, you have children and you kind of lose your identity, right? You lose your name. When you have children, you're no longer Rhonda. Now you are Ashley's mom, or you are Joshua's mom, or you're Bill's wife, or you're the preacher's wife, you know? It's amazing how few people know Rhonda's name, but they know her as, oh, you're Ashley's mom, or you're Joshua's, or you're the preacher's wife, you know, or whatever. So moms get that, right? There's a lot of moms who's like, nobody knows my name, but they know who all my kids are, right? They know all my kids' names. They know me as their mother. And so, again, with Jochebed, although little is written about her, Her story speaks powerfully to mothers today. And so there's four things here that I think that we can kind of glean from this, that we can draw from Jochebed. One is this: a mother sees the good in her children. Amen, moms? Come on now. Mothers see the good in their children. Notice what it says here in verse 2 of this text. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. In the King James Version, it says that he was a goodly child. That means beautiful or good looking. In Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 23, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months in of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child. And so we see Moses' parents, his mom, identifying him as beautiful, as good, as goodly, as a proper child. Man, that speaks so much to a mom and child relationships. Man, moms see the good in their children. Rhonda said this years ago. We were talking about parenting and talking about kids, and there was a situation that we were dealing with. And Rhonda said this. She said, you know, a mother doesn't have to look for the good in their kids. A mother just sees it. She don't have to dig through the weeds. She doesn't have to try to find something. Well, let me just think. If I spend all day, maybe I can think of something good about my kids. No, mother doesn't have to think about it. A mother just knows it. A mother just identifies with the good of their kids. Listen, I hear it all the time. Listen, I've done jail ministry for years. And guys in jail will say, hey, here's my mom's name and my mom's phone number. Would you call my mom and just let my mom know that I'm okay? Would you call my mom and give her this message? Would you call my mom and say this to her? And listen, inevitably, I call that mom. And you know what that mom says to me? He's a good boy. He's a good boy. He just got messed up in the wrong crowd. It doesn't matter what his rap sheet is. Doesn't matter how many times he's been in jail. Doesn't matter how long he's been in jail. I'm telling you, moms always say, but he's a good boy. Moms see the good in their children. Moms identify those goodly traits, those godly traits. Listen, you can tell me what mother in her right mind who doesn't feel this way about their children. I've been there, the hospital, when babies are born, you know, or right after that, or go see somebody that's got a newborn baby, and the mom's just ooh and ah, and, you know, over them, and they're just such beautiful little babies to them, and I'm thinking, it looks like E.T. to me, you know? Doesn't look pretty to me. But that mom, it is good, it is beautiful. That child, they love that child. Listen, Jochebed, she believed, as with all moms, that their children was goodly, that they would do something special. There are plenty of people who are telling our kids today that they're no good. There's a lot of people out there that want our kids to think that they're no good, that they're no count, that they're of no value, that they'll never matter, that they'll never amount to anything. Man, we need moms who stand strong, who stand firm in the corner of our kids and tell our kids, you can do this. I read just this morning a news article of a mom in San Francisco who grew up in the San Francisco area and talked about the neighborhood that they grew up in. And now they've got a child that's fallen into drug addiction, and they're struggling to get out of that. And this mom is just, I mean, she's doing everything that she can. She's fighting for her kids. She's in her kids' corner. That's what kids need today. Kids need to know. The world may give up on me. The world may turn their back on me. But I know my mom always loves me. My mom always sees the good. My mom always sees the potential in me. Amen? Come on now. But secondly, we see this. Not only does a mother sees the good in her children, a mother protects her children. Notice what it says here in this text. She made this basket. So the order had been given that all the Hebrew male children would be killed. They'd be executed. And this mom, Jochebed, wanted to protect her child. And so she made this little basket. She put pitch in it, put tar in it so that it would float. And she put it there in the river. And I believe that she put it there in the river knowing where the Pharaoh's daughter would go to bathe. And she strategically placed him there so that she would find him. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 23, it says, "And she was not afraid of the king's command." And so she hid Moses there 3 months in the bush. And so, listen, she wasn't fearful of the king. She was determined that she was going to do everything in her power to protect her child. Now, I don't think the story lays out as simple as that. That there are a lot of factors here that we have to take into consideration. All of the dynamics that are going on politically, all of the dynamics that are going on culturally, everything that's taken place surrounding the life of Moses, and this mother gives birth to him, and she lays him there in the basket. Notice what it says here in the text. It says that she hid him, in verse 2, it says she hid him for 3 months. It wasn't like she gave birth and was afraid that she might get caught and immediately went and took him and put him in the basket and put him down the river. No, she had hid him. She had for 3 months. She had struggled. Man, she had worked behind the scenes. She had gone to extra precautions to make sure that she was protecting this child. And when it came to the point where finally she knew that she was never going to be able to hide him forever, she did what she could do. Put him in this basket. Put him into the safe hands there of the Pharaoh's daughter. Listen, those of us and those of you women, you mothers this morning who have had children, you know 3 months of watching over that child 24/7, protecting its life, that's a job. That's a task. That's more than me or any other man could ever imagine. And she did it under the unusual circumstances of knowing that his very life was being threatened. You know, first of all, she probably thought, what could I do to keep my son safe from the Pharaoh's order? She said, I either have to send him somewhere or get him under a protective care. And then maybe she thought, I know where the Pharaoh's daughter is. I'll put him over there. Maybe she'll have sympathy. She didn't know for sure, but she trusted God. And she took those steps. And then she also sent Miriam, Moses' sister, kind of as a spy to say, okay, you go down there and you kind of watch and kind of see what happens and you kind of be there to intervene as well. And so she had gone to great lengths of planning this out and organizing all of this to make sure that her son was protected. Listen, moms, you know better than any of us. It's a crazy world out there, right? There's a lot of dangers out there. Man, the Bible says that Satan is like a roaring lion going to and fro and seeking whom he may devour. And just like any other predator, he focuses on those that are weak and those that are unable to take care of themselves. And oftentimes that means it's our children. Moms understand the danger of the world out there. And moms go to great lengths to protect their children from such a dangerous world. Several years ago, Joshua and I went backpacking, hiking, camping through the Smoky Mountains. And it was like 3-4 days through there, three or four nights out there. And if you ever hiked through the Smoky Mountains, it's kind of interesting. They have these campsites that are designated. And it's, they make sure all of your needs are protected. They have a little wooden pole there with a number on it so you can identify the number of your campsite. There's a little metal ring there that you can build your fire, and that's about it. But one other little thing that they have there, off to the side, at some little distance there, you will find a pulley system. And it's a cable that's stretched between two trees. There's some cables hanging down. They've got some hooks on it. And you can put your food on those hooks, and you can pulley that food up off the ground to get it away so that the bears can't get in it. And I'm thinking, well, that's a great idea. What about me? I'm not worried about the bear getting my food. I'm worried about the bear getting me, right? And so I'm like, Josh, I got a plan. You put me on one of those hooks and you pull me up off the ground and you get me down the next morning, right? That was my idea, right? Listen, moms understand this. Moms understand that listen, you would rather encounter a hungry bear than a mama bear with cubs. Hey, listen, a bear that's hungry compares nothing to a mama bear who has cubs. Man, I've seen mamas in stilettos and dressed to the T, and somebody say something or do something to their child, and I'm telling you, all of a sudden they look like a WWE wrestler, man. I mean, they come out, man. I mean, it is, your life is in danger. Don't mess with their kids. Don't mess with your kids, right? See, moms know how to protect their kids. Dads, we don't get it. Kids fall, get hurt, you know? I was the same way. My kids would fall, get hurt. They'd come crying in the house. I'm like, can you bend it? And they're like, it's okay, you know? And Rhonda, man, she scoops them up. She loves them. She cares for them. Moms have that protective instinct. Jochebed had this protective instinct. Now listen, not only does a mother protect their children from the dangers of the world, moms also protect kids from themselves. They protect kids from themselves. Here's an interesting passage. In Proverbs chapter 31, if you want to turn there with me this morning, in Proverbs, in the 31st chapter, oftentimes when we think about Proverbs 31, we think about the virtuous woman. But I want to call attention to the first 9 verses. Before we get to the virtuous woman, I want you to notice this. In Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 1, it says this: the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. Which his mother taught him. These are the things that were important to his mother that she passed on to him. What, my son? And what, son of my womb? And what, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open your mouth for the speechless. in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. Liniel says, my mom taught me this. My mom taught me about women, how to be in right relationship with women. My mom taught me about wine, about alcohol, about the warnings there. My mom taught me about the weak, those that were the victims of injustices, those that were the victims of wrongdoing. So his mom had taught him those things. You see, moms protect their children. They protect them from the dangers of the world. But moms also speak instructions into children that will protect them even through life, even after they leave home. And so a mom protects her children. Thirdly, we see in this text that a mom trains her children. Notice what it says in verse 7 of our text. It says, then his sister, you know, they put him in the basket. He goes down. Pharaoh's daughter finds him. Miriam, the sister, is there. She's going to intervene. She rushes up. The Pharaoh's daughter said, oh, this must be one of the Hebrew children. And Miriam rushes up and says, oh, yeah. Hey, you want me to go find one of those Hebrew women to nurse this child? Says there in verse 7, then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the maiden went and called the child's mother, Jochebed. Then Pharaoh's daughter says to Jochebed, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. Nursing that child is more than just feeding him. She took this child and she began to raise this child. She began to nurture this child. A large percentage of a child's upbringing is in the very early formidable years of their life. If you can teach children that those principles of life before they're 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, we go a long ways in training those children for all of life. And so a large percentage of a child's training, especially in the early years, is that which is taught by their mother. Now here's a couple of verses. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, it says this. Paul's writing to young Timothy. And he says, I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. He says, Timothy, I see this genuine faith in you. But then he accredits that. He says, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded also is in you. Paul looked at Timothy and says, Timothy, I see in you a great faith. And I see that faith is a result of what your grandmother taught and what your mother taught. See, much of what Timothy was about, much of Timothy's character, much of Timothy's ministry was all molded, not just because Paul mentored him, but Paul had something to work with because Eunice and Lois had done their jobs as a mom to raise him in the faith. So we see that moms play this vital role of training children. It says in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, it says, in that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Hey, moms, can I just say this morning? Your children learn more of the scriptures and more of God from you than they'll ever learn in an hour on Sunday mornings. Man, we can help encourage and we can help reinforce, but moms, it's the 24/7 that you spend with your kids. That's where kids learn the scriptures. That's where kids learn their faith, is in the home, in the family setting. Proverbs 29 and verse 15 says this, a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. But Proverbs 22 verse 6 says this, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Man, it's so vitally important for our moms to be engaged in teaching the faith to our children. Listen, I'm convinced that those early years of training were vital to his decision that he made later. Listen to this passage in Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 26, in that hall of fame of faith, it says this about Moses. It says, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, okay, those early years are gone. He's a man. He's making decisions on his own now. So when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Moses got to an age where his mother passed him off to the Pharaoh's daughter. And then from those days forward, he was raised as the son of the Pharaoh's daughter, the grandson of the Pharaoh. He was raised in the palaces. He was raised with all the affluence and all that life had to offer him. And yet Moses became of age, and Moses got to thinking one day. And Moses realized, you know what? I know. I remember. I know who my mama is. I know the one who really invested in me. I know the one who gave me life, who birthed me, who nursed me, who nurtured me, who raised me and put faith in me. He remembered the lap that rocked him and saw the good in him and the one who protected him and the one who had trained him. Listen, we will train our children whether we realize it or not. And moms, we have such a great opportunity to teach them the good and to teach them the faith. One of the things that I've always learned about kids is kids are great copycats. Amen? Kids are great copycats. Our son Joshua, from the time he was very little, and some of you remember Joshua when he was just a little bitty thing. Brother Mickey was pastoring here. We would come here, visit on the weekends. We'd go out to Bovine and play golf, and we'd take Josh with us. And Josh was just a little bitty thing then. He had a little plastic set of golf clubs, you know, and we'd let him tee off, and we'd put him in the cart and drive him down the fairway, and we'd put him out when we got up by the green, and he'd chip and putt with us, and he played golf with us all the time, and he just kind of progressed along, you know. And one day I came in, and Josh was out in the backyard. He had that little ball, and he was hitting it, and he had hit that thing, and he'd slam the club down on the ground, and he'd swing, and he'd hit it. It didn't matter if he hit it good or not. He'd slam the club down on the ground. And Rhonda said, come here, look at this. And man, he'd swing and he'd hit that thing. She said, wonder where he learned that from. I said, I don't know, but we're going to have to quit playing golf with your daddy. So, listen, man, kids are watching our every move, right? They're copycats. They do what they see us doing. And moms, they'll follow you. You keep being faithful. Someone said, before I got married, I had 6 theories about raising children. Now I have 6 children and no theories. Right? Come on, man. Let's be honest this morning. Come on, right? Give me something here this morning. Hey, raising kids is hard, right? I mean, training children, it's difficult. I loved it when our kids started having kids. You know, and we start having these conversations, and I'm like, hey, I'm telling you, man, by the grace of God and a lot of praying, that's how you raise kids. The grace of God and a lot of praying. Mamas, keep praying, keep praying, keep trusting God. Listen, it's our responsibility to train them in the way that God has for them in their life. But then lastly, I want you to hear this, moms. A mother not only sees the good in their children, a mother not only protects their children and trains their children, but a mother, listen to this, a mother knows when it's time to let go. Now, moms, I want you to take a deep breath this morning, okay? A mom knows when it's time to let go. Look what the Bible says here in verse 10. In verse 10 of the text, it says, "And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter." The Pharaoh's daughter said, take this child, take him back to one of the Hebrew women. She didn't know it was his own mom. Let her nurse him. And when it's time, bring him back to me. This mom, Jochebed, took this child. Man, she had spent 3 months doing everything in her power to protect this child. She knew that he was a goodly child. And she had protected him and she had trained him. But she knew one day she was going to have to let him go. She knew one day she was going to have to take him back and let the Pharaoh's daughter have him. Mom, there comes a time when you're going to have to let go. For some of you, it's kindergarten. Come on, moms, can I get a witness, right? Man, I remember the day when Ashley started kindergarten. Man, we were in Atlanta, Georgia. Rhonda was scared to death, man, big city. Man, we didn't even want to put her on a bus in that city, you know? So we'd make sure that we'd take her to school in the mornings. And that first morning of kindergarten, Rhonda took her to school and they got out and they was taking pictures. You know how you moms do. They was taking pictures of every little thing, you know, and in front of the school. And they got in the hallway and Ashley was going down the hall and Rhonda was following her. And she turned around and she said, "Mom, I got this. You don't have to go any further." Man, it broke Rhonda's heart. Her little baby girl didn't need her at that moment. It was a moment to let her go. For some of you moms, it's right around the corner. It's just in a few days. It's graduation. Your baby that you struggled to send off to kindergarten is now about to graduate. For some of you that just sent your kid to kindergarten, you don't even want to think about that yet, right? For some of you, your little baby, your little baby that couldn't wipe their nose, couldn't clean themselves, they're about to graduate high school. They're about to graduate out into the big world. Some of them's going to go off to college. Some of them are going to go off into careers. But mom, it's time. It's time for you to let them go. It's time for you to release them. Some mothers struggle to let them go when they get married. Come on now, right? The Bible says that the two shall become one, that she will leave his father and mother and cling to his wife. See, they become a family. They become a family. That's a struggle sometimes for moms. It's a struggle to let their baby go and get married and start their own family and all those kind of things. Listen, I've been there. We get it. We struggle through those things. I'm not trying to simplify the difficulties, but there has to come a time when we let that child go. And children, there's a time that you need to let mama go too. Amen, mama? Yeah. I remember one day I was in the grocery store and Joshua had just graduated and he was in college and wasn't living at home anymore, and I was in the grocery store picking up something one day and there was a lady behind me in line. She had 2 or 3 kids in the buggy and she was trying to get things and the kids were trying to get things. You know, they put all that stuff right there at the register, you know, that's in reach of the kids. And man, she was just fighting. She was having a time. And she looked at me and she said, "Is it nice not having kids at home?" I said, "Well, I don't want to brag, but it's wonderful." There comes a time when we have to let them go. Listen to this passage in 1 Samuel. Remember Hannah? Hannah was barren and she wanted to have a child. Man, she had prayed. She had prayed a long time for a child. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 1 and verse 24, "Now when she had weaned him, She took him up with her, with three bulls and one ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And then they slaughtered the bull and brought the child to Eli. That's the priest. And she said, "Oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked him. I prayed that God would give me this child, and God answered and gave me this child," is what she's saying. "Therefore, because God was true to his word, therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worshiped the Lord there. Hannah took this child that she had longed for, that she had prayed many years for. And even while he was young, she said, "You know what, Lord? It's not really my child, it's your child. God, you've given him to me for a season, but I'm giving him back to you." Hey, moms, I know it's hard. Can't even imagine. I'm not trying to make light of it. But you need to let him go. You need to let her go. You need to give them back to the Lord and say, "Lord, they're your child. They're not just my child. Lord, they're your child. Lord, you take them. And Lord, you use them. And Lord, you use them for your glory and for your honor." As difficult as letting them go is, there's a reward. Notice what it says in that previous verse in verse 9. The Pharaoh's daughter said, when Jochebed came, she said, "Okay, here's the child. You take him, you nurse him." And notice what it says there in verse 9. "And I will give you your wages." Isn't it incredible how God worked this out? God's the first one to recognize that mothers ought to be paid for what they do. Right? Right, ladies? God recognized moms ought to get paid for what they're doing. And he arranged so Jochebed could actually get paid for raising Moses. That's pretty cool, right? Here's your reward. Moms, God has a great reward for you. God has a great reward for you. Man, it's a reward of blessings for being a faithful mom who sees the good in her children, who does everything in her power to protect her children, who spends all of her time to train her children, and then on that day, she's willing to let her children go and flourish and be what God has created them to be. The great reward of motherhood. Mothers, be blessed today. Amen. Hey, let's bow and pray this morning. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm reminded the very name Jochebed means God's glory. Mom, this morning, you are the glory of God to your children. I'm convinced this morning that not only does a mother see the good in her children, her children see the good in her. The Bible says in Proverbs that they rise up and they call her blessed. So this morning, moms, be blessed. Father, this morning we thank you for moms. God, we thank you for the moms who have spent countless nights when no one knew. God, when they were laying awake, praying for their children. God, for the nights that they stood over a cradle, patting the back of a child that was sick. Sat up talking with a child that was troubled. Talking with the child on their lap, teaching scripture. God, we thank you for moms today. For the example that they've lived out in front of us. For the life that they've given us and for the life that they've shared with us. God, I pray this morning, God, that moms would realize the great reward that you have for them. God, today, may they be honored and may they be blessed. And Father, today, we'll be sure to give you the praise and the glory and the honor. Father, we love you. And we ask you all this in Christ's name. Amen and amen. This morning, as we've honored moms, I know mom's greatest desire is that her children be in right relationship with the Lord. God gives us this incredible privilege as moms and dads both of being co-creators with Him, of bringing life into this world. And just as God brought life into this world, just as He created Adam and just as He created Eve, He gives us the privilege of being co-creators with Him. And just as He created them in His image for His glory and for His honor, we as parents, man, we want nothing more for our children than for them to grow up and bring glory and honor to God. Maybe there's someone here this morning, and you know this morning that your mom has prayed for you. You know your mom has prayed that you would live a life that would bring glory and honor to God. Maybe this morning you need to just take that step of faith and say, you know what? I can no longer rely on my mom's faith. That faith has to become my own. This morning I need to trust Christ as my Lord and Savior on my own. Maybe today is that day where you can trust Christ. We want to invite you to come this morning. Mike's going to lead us in a hymn of invitation. Maybe you'd be that one today to say, you know what? Today, I'm going to honor my mom in the greatest way I know how, in giving my life to Christ. Maybe today you want to just come to the altar. Maybe you're here with your mom and you want to come and just thank God for her. Maybe you want to come and pray with her today. Or maybe this morning it's one of those Mother's Day where mom's already in heaven. Maybe you want to just come and thank God for the mother that you had. Prayer altars will be open. However God leads you, you come this morning. Hey, let's stand this morning. We're going to sing, "Just As I Am." Would you come today, this morning, just as you are, you come.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidest me come.
Imagine eating the lunch that they have cooked for you, but listen, you do the best and you enjoy the day to day. There not be anything going on here this evening, and so you just spend the day taking care of mom today. Be blessed. Be back Wednesday night for our midweek service. I pray God bless you richly today. I pray it be a very, very special day for you moms today. Remember, guys, challenge you. Pick up a baby bottle. Check out the nursery. Support the Crisis Pregnancy Center. And let's help moms today. Amen? Amen. Mike, we have some good singing today, man.
Thank
some
you.
Good songs,
yes,
that you introduced us to today.
The last line of this is forevermore. That's the last word. Sure.
That's right.
Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore.